With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
He didn't invent the fade. All you got to do is go back and look at my hair way back in 96, 95, 94, right? I mean, you just go.
He just said, I invented the fade.
Yeah, there you go. I invented the fade. All you got to do is go check the records. I had fades way back then. What's going on? It's me again, Keyshawn, and welcome to my show, Undisputed Presents, All Facts and No Breaks Podcast. Joining me today to break down the top stories in sports and across the world is my friend and homegirl. I think I call her homegirl. She is the co-host of FS1 Speak, Joy Taylor. How you doing?
I'm great. Thanks for having me. This is a very nice set. That's a cool intro.
Yeah, I'm glad you could make it, though. I was a little nervous that you would be too busy for me, you know.
No.
But all the hard work that you've been putting here at Fox.
So. Thank you, but no. It's family.
Yeah. And speaking of family, my son, Keyshawn Jr.
Yes, we met.
Is in the house with us, so he's going to kind of like moderate the situation and ask us some important questions to kick things off.
Love that. I used to be a moderator on the show that you're on now.
Well, I mean,
that's how I started.
You can always come back if you want to.
Let Keyshawn Jr. do it.
No, not you, not you. I'm talking about Undisputed.
Undisputed.
So take us in.
All right, let's get right into it. So Tom Brady had this to say on his Let's Go podcast when asked about Belichick not getting hired.
Are you surprised Bill Belichick hasn't gotten a job in this cycle?
You know, I don't know the criteria for hiring these guys, for hiring coaches. You know, I have never been a part of it. I mean, I'm surprised that the greatest coach ever doesn't have a job. You know, absolutely. But, you know, I'm surprised a lot of things in the NFL. When I was a free agent, there was a lot of teams that didn't want me. There's a lot of things that happen that, you know, for one reason or another, don't go exactly the way, you think they should go.
What profile picture is that?
I don't know.
I'm not sure, but Joy. That's...
Okay, go ahead. Who knows? Sorry.
No worries. Joy, are you surprised, one, that Brady is referring to him as the greatest coach ever? And two, is Belichick not getting a head coaching job surprising to you?
I'm not surprised that Tom Brady's referring to him as the greatest coach ever. He won 6 championships with him. He was in the building. Even though I don't know that they necessarily had the most pleasant breakup, You know, the further away you get from something, you start to kind of romanticize it a little bit. And Tom's going to say the right thing. He knows if he doesn't say that, then the whole conversation is going to be about what Tom thinks about Bill. And it's Super Bowl week. And you know what I mean? So I'm not surprised that he said. And also, he may really think that. There are a lot of people that think that Bill Belichick is still the greatest coach of all time. He does have 6 championships. So that's not super surprising that he said that. I'm also not surprised that he didn't get a job.
Yeah.
I think very highly of Bill Belichick. I lived and suffered through that dynasty for a very long time. They were constantly beating everyone. It was miserable. And I remember what those teams looked like. I remember the different ways that they won. Dante Scarnecchia, the great defenses that Bill Belichick put together, the incredible players that he drafted. I just think that he didn't age well with the NFL. Sometimes great coaches do not evolve. And that doesn't take away from what they accomplished when the era served them, but it does make us evaluate the end of their career differently. And it can sometimes paint what we think their success really came from, which is what I think happened with Bill Belichick.
You know, Joy, Tom Brady's going to say that because he is he's the greatest coach that I've ever laid eyes on in my 50 years on this earth in the National Football League. And when you think about Nick Saban in college, the greatest college coach.
Right.
Right? Some would say, oh, it's Bear Bryant. Some would say it's this, that, and the other. Some would say that Belichick is not. Tom Brady is going to say it because if it wasn't for Bill Belichick, Tom Brady wouldn't be Tom Brady. He would probably be doing something different. The opportunity came. They drafted him in the 6th round. Not only did they draft him in the 6th round, they made an executive decision internally to move on from Drew Bledsoe and give a guy an opportunity that took them to a Super Bowl, even though Bledsoe was the one that actually beat Pittsburgh in the AFC Championship game. So when I look at it, I'm like, okay, those people that don't like Belichick because he has a different approach, a different style toward people, especially media and family members. And I'm close to him and close to his situation, so I kind of know a little bit more about who he is. Now, as far as getting a job, you're right. Probably not the best openings this year for him. It was only one opening that I could see a guy at 72 years old coaching, and that would be with a quarterback. And the only one team had a quarterback available, and that was the Chargers.
Right, which I think would have been a terrible fit.
It probably would have been a terrible fit, maybe depending on who he hires as his offensive coordinator. Belichick is a difficult person to communicate with. He does. If you're not talking about football, he'll miss you with everything. That's just how he is. He doesn't have time to shits and giggles and smiling and do. He just doesn't do that where other coaches do, you know. And people look at his personality and they say, "Oh, he doesn't talk to the media. He's dry." If you've never had an opportunity to sit down with him and have dinner and moments and stuff like that, then you would think that he is like off on the moon somewhere, really. I mean, that's the reality of it. I've had the luxury of doing that. Tom had the luxury of doing that. So we see it in a different light. When you look at the seven teams that was available, Antonio Pierce was getting the Raider job.
As he should.
Okay. Gerard Mayo was going to get the New England Patriot job. Did Belichick really honestly want to go to Carolina? Probably not, right? The Atlanta situation, he wanted more control than they was willing to give him. So he said, you know what? Never mind. Washington made a decision based on they wanted to go in another direction, even though he interviewed with some of the upper bosses and they wanted him, but whatever. They moved on in Seattle from a grandpa. Why would you get another grandpa, right?
Right.
And so it's like when you start to look at these job openings, that's why I say really the only one that I would say was the right fit probably could have been the Chargers. That was really the only one.
I honestly thought the Commanders was a potential landing spot for him.
No quarterback,
Yeah. The thing with Belichick for me is I hear you on his personality. That's not why I don't think he should or shouldn't get a job. I don't care if you're nice or not. When it comes to business, are you competent?
No, but you and I, we don't care.
No,
but
I know a lot of people do. Yeah, you gotta sell a room and all that. Personally, if I'm an owner, I don't need you to be jolly. I need you to get the job done. Do you want somebody who makes you feel good or do you want somebody who wins?
Yeah.
The problem is, for a long time, Belichick didn't make you feel good, but he did make you win.
Yeah.
But as of late, the past few years, the Patriots, a team that he had full control over, got worse and worse and worse. And they made some very questionable decisions with the development of Mac Jones. You've got a defensive coordinator pairing up like the offense coordinator. It was weird. And it did not result in success.
Yeah.
So the positions that were open may not have been a good fit, but I also think that his reputation as a head coach and as somebody who had a lot of power in the building deteriorated over the past couple years. Now, for me, that doesn't take away completely from what he accomplished there, because to me, what's done is done. If I have six championships, I'm not arguing with y'all. I'm not arguing with y'all. Argue amongst yourselves. I'm walking into the Hall of Fame. I have six championships, which is more than any coach, two more than any other coach that's ever done it. And whether you think it's Tom Brady or it's me, it doesn't say that on the rings that I have. And I think we will give Tom Brady a lot of credit or most of the credit because of what it's looked like.
See,
without
him. I don't give Tom most of the credit. I give their teams equal credit because I look at early success in Tom Brady's career.
But see, that's where you and I are on the same page. I think that we just disregard that Tom Brady developed into a great player. Like, he did not walk into the league Tom Brady. He was a sixth-round pick. Now, listen, he's chosen. He's a chosen individual.
Yes.
Like, some of us are just picked, and he's one of them. But a lot had to happen. A lot of those defenses were excellent. He played with incredible players, Hall of Famers.
All day.
Had excellent coaching outside of Bill Belichick for years. And I'm like a culture nerd because I'm born and raised in Pittsburgh. So I know what a consistent franchise looks like and the success and the standard that they're held to.
Yes.
When you have very minimal changeover at the coaching position, when you have a style of play and identity within the building, when the standard from the person that works part-time in the building to the owner is held at the same level, everybody walks in expecting excellence from each other, that permeates through everything that you do. And I think that that also leads to winning at a high level. And I think that because it does, because the Steelers have six championships, because the Patriots have six championships, consistency is boring. It's so boring. But it's what leads to winning.
Yeah.
At a consistent level. It's all the little things. So I agree with you. Early in his career, there were certainly incredible moments, and the Super Bowl against Atlanta and the comeback for me cemented him as the greatest of all time. And that was Brady to me. Yeah. But there are a lot of things that you can point to throughout the dynasty that can give credit to a lot of different people.
So you say the Atlanta comeback, right?
Right.
But then we could also point to the first greatest show on turf, with they stopped the Rams. Then we can point to the second greatest show on turf with Jared Goff and them, and they went in and did an amazing job in stopping them. And we also could point to Seattle and Malcolm Butler and drawing up a defensive play to understand the formation that came from Belichick to be able to say, I've been telling you all week long, this is what they're getting ready to do.
People are going
to
say you hating, Keyshawn.
No, I don't care. Man, fuck them. I don't care about
people
that.
People are going to say you hating.
I'm just saying I'm laying out in all
you're just saying what you're just saying what actually happens.
Yes.
Just saying what actually happens.
Yes,
it is the facts. I don't disagree with you. I think Tom Brady is the greatest football player who has ever played the game of football at the professional level. I think he is the greatest. If you disagree, I don't know a lot of people that disagree, but I think he is the greatest. And I think he does deserve a lot of the credit because he's on the field.
He deserves a ton of credit.
And I would give him a bigger slice of the credit pie. But I'm with you. All of those other things happens.
You get a few more apples on the pie then.
Yeah, he gets the big scoop.
And that's
when the turkey
okay.
come out, he gets the big slice. If he wants the dark meat, if he gets the drumstick, it's him first. And
Joy,
then everybody else can eat.
That's okay, right? But the problem that I always have with this conversation is people act like Belichick just forgot how to coach football.
I don't think he forgot, but I do think that he did not adjust with the times.
But
I think he rested on what worked for him for two decades.
Which is understandable.
Nah,
I disagree with that. He was adjusting with the times with Cam Newton. Cam got COVID. Cam got hurt. Then at the end of the day,
that's a tough year. There were so many players out.
No, but they was doing good. They was leading the league in rushing. Cam had, I think, 13 touchdowns on the ground that year. Remember, they was doing well. Cam got hurt. So now he made that adjustment to the RPO game, and then they went back because his boy is Nick Saban. And then he said, you know what? I'm going to make a run on this Mac Jones. Where he made a mistake at and he corrected it was hiring those two noodle nuts in Joe Judge and Matt Patricia
as the
offensive coordinator. But then he said, you know what? I got to go get my guy, Bill O'Brien. By then, I never felt good about Mac Jones, even his rookie season when they went to that weak playoffs.
I don't think that Mac Jones is as bad as what's happened, though. I do think that that mistake really hindered his development.
It feels that way, but if you really dive in his rookie season and really watch, he really wasn't like that. I'm sorry.
But he's a rookie.
No, I understand.
And then
that.
Their second year,
but
you just completely derail
but
him.
You propped him up and they made a mistake in second season by derailing him. You're 100% correct, but he tried to fix it. So now he moves on because they part ways and now they hire Gerard Mayo, but sometimes it's good to just separate. Think about Andy Reid in Philadelphia, Joy. He was rolling. And then all of a sudden, he hit a wall and they got stale. And then he found pay dirt again with Alex Smith and Patrick Mahomes. If you don't have a quarterback in the National Football League, you're going to get fired.
What do you make of, because this is the argument for everyone who's watching who's outraged. What do you make of Belichick's record without Tom Brady?
Doesn't mean anything.
Like the fact that he was had a losing record as a coach before Tom Brady.
In Cleveland, he had a losing record.
Yes.
He was dealing with the Cleveland Browns and Art Modell.
I hear you on the Cleveland Browns, I do.
He was dealing with that. He didn't even get an opportunity to turn it around the way he should have. Then he leaves and he comes and he starts, gets a slow start as a new head coach in New England.
Mm-hmm.
But eventually he goes to Brady and the rest is history.
Yeah.
And then he showed you he can win with Matt Castle. He won enough games. He didn't make it to the playoffs because whatever, they won 11 games. Mm-hmm. And that year, they just didn't. It was a weird the way the mathematics worked out. But that's an easy target to point to. Then if you go to the beginning of Cleveland and the end of New England and you put them together, he's certainly under 500. We all recognize that. But I can guarantee you, he didn't forget how to coach football.
I don't think he forgot how to coach football, but I will say, as somebody, again, who suffered under Bill Belichick in that dynasty for two decades, I wish I hadn't seen it fall apart. Is that fair?
That's fair.
That's fair.
Thank you, Keyshawn Jr.
But no, Joy, it's fair. But if you don't have a quarterback, Pittsburgh Steelers, Ben Roethlisberger. Yeah, like, you held on to him too long.
Talk about Mike Tomlin. Mike Tomlin has never had a losing season in his entire career.
I understand that. He never had a losing season. But that standard of going to Super Bowls and feeling a certain way, you held on to Big Ben too long.
If
you don't have a quarterback, Joy, you're going to lose.
Yes, but without a quarterback, you've got Mike Tomlin having the Steelers in the playoffs. He's dealing with his third string quarterback and still not having losing seasons. And it's
we can say the same thing about Sean Payton.
It's rough.
We can say the same thing about a lot of coaches that don't have quarterbacks.
Not as bad as it is in New England.
Well, New England got bad because of the standard that they had set for themselves in that 20 years.
Oh, they were like one of the worst teams in the league this year.
No, I'm saying it got bad. When you look at it, it's like, well, we're so used to them winning.
They're bad by like any standard.
Well, yeah, that's true too, though. Yeah.
So that's like, that's where I do feel like he stayed too long, because it's one thing to have a losing season.
Yeah.
It's one thing to not make the playoffs. It's one thing to get to the playoffs with Mac Jones and get blown out. That's one thing. But to be in a league with a guy like Mike Tomlin, who's never had even a losing season on his third string quarterback, but still be able to put his players that he does have, that he's, you know, brought in a position to win, I feel like it's a bit of an indictment of where Bill Belichick is at now. I don't think he forgot how to coach, but I do think you can stay in something too long.
Absolutely.
And the game has changed.
Yeah.
The game has shifted. And when you don't have the ultimate eraser of Tom Brady in the building, it can expose some things. So that's more of the reason why I'm disappointed in what's happened with Bill Belichick and the Patriots, because it does make this argument so difficult. Because I want to say Bill Belichick is the greatest of all time. That's it. He has six Super Bowls. I watched him do it. I watched him beat my teams every single year. We never won. Never couldn't even win the division. It was awful. But then he stayed too long, and now I'm like, well, I got to hear you out.
Yeah.
Because it looks bad.
Well, let's talk about a quarterback situation right now. So Justin Jefferson was just on the Rich Eisen show and was asked about the QB situation in Minnesota. Here's what he had to say. Take a listen.
Hey, folks, it's your man, Keyshawn Johnson, here to talk about Angie, formerly known as Angie's List, your go-to home services, marketplace for getting all your jobs done well. Now, you might be wondering, what exactly is Angie? Well, let me tell you, it's the nation's largest home services marketplace, connecting over 150 million homeowners with skilled professionals to tackle any project, big or small. As a homeowner myself, I always have things I want to work on for my house, whether it's general home renovations or fun projects like putting in a pool. With over 200,000 pros in their network, Angie makes it a breeze to research, compare, and hire pros, ensuring every job is done well. Whether you're fixing a leaky faucet or planning a full kitchen renovation, Angie's got your back. And get this, folks. Angie's pros aren't just any old contractors. They're your neighbors, often running small businesses right in your community. Plus, they've been rated and reviewed by others in your area, so you know you're getting quality service. So why stress over home projects when you can turn to Angie? From finding the best price to scheduling a pro at your convenience, Angie's got you covered every step of the way. So get started today at Angie.com. That's Angie.com, or download the app today to get started on getting all your jobs done. That's Angie, your trusted ally in home services.
Number one is, who's your quarterback this coming year?
Yeah, I don't know that. I have no idea. You know, it could be Kirk. It could be someone else. I have no idea.
But how is Kirk? How is he?
I mean, Kirk is great. Kirk is great as a teammate, you know, as a person. I mean, just seeing the difference from, you know, having multiple quarterbacks throw to you versus, you know, having that one main quarterback.
What's your sense of how it might play out with him? What's your sense of it, Justin?
I mean, I would like him to stay.
Sure.
I would love to have him stay and have that connection with him. You know, it's going to be difficult to create that new connection with, you know, a whole new quarterback. So it's a little bit difficult situation. But, I mean, I would like to have him back.
So Justin Jefferson said he wants him to stay. I kind of think that's cap, but it's just spitting facts. Is he spinning facts or fiction when he says that, that he wants him to return?
I like that you got your opinion in there.
Yeah, had to.
I mean, Justin Jefferson is getting the ball, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we're talking about him the way we do because of the numbers that he has. I think Kirk is a good quarterback. I don't think he's great. I don't think he has a tremendous track record in the postseason. I think he's somewhere around a Dak Prescott type of level. No?
In the postseason? Or just in general?
In general.
Oh, I'm taking Dak Prescott all day long.
Yeah, I'm taking Dak too. But I don't think he's far behind Dak. Dak has not had a whole lot of success in the postseason.
Dak is better than Kirk Cousins.
Dak certainly is. This year was a great year for Dak Prescott.
But Kirk Cousins, there's something missing. There's the winning approach. Like, there's something that's there that's missing. Like, I don't love him. He doesn't. Everything he does well will make you cry later.
He'll give the ball to the other team at the wrong time.
It's just. You know,
I say Dak because we could say all the same things about Dak. I do think Dak is better than Kirk Cousins, but I don't think that Justin Jefferson suffers because of Kirk Cousins is mostly what I'm trying to say. And I think that a lot of teams would do well with Kirk Cousins. I don't know if Kirk is somebody that you're going to win a Super Bowl with. I think he's somebody you could win a playoff game with.
You can win a Super Bowl with Kirk Cousins, but everything has to be right.
But that's why I don't like to qualify it like that, because when is everything right? When is everything perfect?
Everything is right.
You need luck to go your way. Everything's got to be right. Everyone's got to be healthy. You got to have the perfect scheme. He's got to make no mistakes. He's got to make the winning play. He's got to be clutch when you need it from him. Like, you know this. It's crazy hard to win a Super Bowl. It's super hard to get to a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
It's super hard to get to an AFC championship game. So to be able to do that, there has to be some of that in you.
Yeah, but
whether you're super talented or not.
But no, everything has to align perfectly. There's no question about it. For even the greatest quarterbacks that ever played.
Correct.
But he could get to a Super Bowl and win it in the right situation. If you take Kirk Cousins and you drop him in San Francisco, that's a right situation because he knows what to do with him. You look at Russell Wilson in Seattle. That was the right situation because you could run the football, you had a lights out defense, and you every now and then you could take a shot downfield, and that's the right situation. We won with Brad Johnson. Many people would think Brad Johnson is just horrible. Even though they don't know nothing about quarterbacks, they're going to tell you he's horrible. And I'd say no, but Brad did everything the right way. He didn't get a ball to the other team, okay? We had a hell of a defense. Obviously, we had some killer receivers, and we could run the football.
Right, obviously.
Everything was perfect for us. Aligned up perfectly. Now,
but a big part of that is not making mistakes.
Yeah, you can't make the mistakes. No, you can't make mistakes at all. You can't get a ball to the other team.
But what was one of the things that you said that Kirk does?
Yeah, he's going to get a ball to the other team. But if you with the right, but if you with the right coach, though, Joy, he takes that away from you. And won't let you. Remember, think San Francisco, Jimmy Garoppolo.
Yeah.
What did they do when they went to the Super Bowl with Jimmy Garoppolo against Minnesota? They said, no, you didn't get ready to lose this game. Come stand your ass over here with me. And hand the football off.
Right.
Against Green Bay, they said, no. Come stand over here and hand the football off. Then when they needed him to make the throws in the Super Bowl, he couldn't do it.
Correct.
Because he just wasn't that guy.
That's what worries me about Kirk.
Yeah.
Now, I like Kirk. I think Washington should have stuck with Kirk. Washington's had, 15 quarterbacks since they moved on from Kirk Cousins. Like, they would have made the right choice with staying with him. I think he provides consistency. I think he's somebody that they like in the locker room. I think that's pretty obvious. So you can do worse than Kirk Cousins, I guess. So to answer the question about Justin Jefferson, I don't think he suffers because of Kirk Cousins. Obviously, he could be with better quarterbacks.
Yeah, but sometimes.
But to just say, like, okay, let's just bring somebody else in. Every time we talk about, okay, we could do better than this guy. Who? Where? Where are you trading for? Where are you drafting for? Yeah. It's not like a quarterback store you can go to and be like, oh, I don't like this guy, like with these features. That's just not how it works. So wins above replacement, where? That is my question. And that sucks. That's the reality of how the league works. You can't just automatically go get the guy. Not that you shouldn't keep trying, but I don't know where he's going to end up or where Minnesota ends up if they do end up not keeping him.
Justin Jefferson should just be happy because as somebody that had 18 quarterbacks in 11 seasons,
whew,
you don't want to keep switching quarterbacks, buddy. That's not it.
And that is a reality. That's why I brought up Washington, because people used to kill Kirk in Washington. Oh, he's not good enough. Da, da, da. Okay, maybe he's not. How many times are you going to keep trying to replace him?
Yeah.
Because your organization is in destitute now, having gone through all these different quarterbacks, trying to replace somebody that maybe not isn't the most elite quarterback in the league, but is somebody that can win games and put up numbers. So.
Okay, Joyce. So then fill in the blank for me here. Kirk Cousins will sign with the blank next year.
I mean, I honestly wouldn't mind Kirk in Pittsburgh. I know we're not going to do that. Heller's off camera laughing at me. The Raiders are going to go with a young quarterback. Why? You don't like that?
No, I'm saying Raiders ain't messing
no,
with him.
No, Raiders aren't messing with him.
Minnesota.
I think he'll be back in Minnesota.
Yeah, I
think he will be back in Minnesota. If he isn't in Minnesota, assuming this question is that he's not in Minnesota, what are places that need a quarterback? I don't think he goes back to Washington.
No. No. He'll be in Minnesota.
Baker's going to be there. I think they're going to stick with Baker. Atlanta's kind of interesting, but they're high ups in the draft, so they're going to end up probably drafting a quarterback.
I can see Atlanta looking at him just because of the relationship that Raheem has with Sean McVay. Mm-hmm. And Sean McVay and company coached Kirk Cousins in
Washington.
In Washington. On top of that, Kevin O'Connell comes from that whole circuit of players.
Right.
I could see Atlanta.
It's like a bridge situation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, a little bridge situation.
Yeah, but I'm with you. I think he stays in Minnesota. I think he's there.
So the NFL honors are tonight, but the fan vote is already in. NFL on Fox polled our fans on each category, and we need a fact check on it. First and foremost, no surprises here, Lamar Jackson wins the MVP. Did the way Lamar went off in the playoffs make you feel any differently about him winning the regular season award?
No, it's a regular season award.
Yeah, it's a regular season award. But I do like that he went to the AFC Championship game, because even though it is a regular season award, we tend to kill guys that win this award and don't perform in the postseason. I mean, there's an expectation if you are the MVP and your team is the best team in your conference that you should be in the AFC Championship game, which is where they were. I know it was a disappointing performance overall in that game, and we probably expected it to be better, especially considering that their defense was as good as it was this year. But I think he's never been there before. So it's hard. It's very hard to win in the league. It's very hard to win in the postseason. It's hard to get to the AFC Championship game. It's the first time that he was there. So I think it validates the MVP this year. And it was a very weird year for quarterbacks. I'm a defensive girl, as you know. So I don't think that the defenses in the league got as much credit as they deserved this year. There were way better defenses in the league this year than there were offenses, which is why the MVP was such a contested conversation throughout the year. There was no clear MVP really until that game with Lamar Jackson and Brock Purdy. And we know how that went. So, you know, I think if you look at the numbers this year, it doesn't look as pretty as we would have wanted it to. And I think that's because the real MVP this year is whoever ends up winning the defensive player of the year, because I think the defenses were really stepped up this year. They played at an extremely high level and made things very difficult for the quarterbacks and offenses this year. That's why the conversation was as testy as it was.
You know, they keep moving the goalposts on Lamar. He can't win a playoff game, he wins one.
Right.
Can't take a team to the championship game, he does that.
Yep.
Then you look at the numbers, it's not the same numbers as when he won back in 2019. He won the MVP, the numbers are different. All numbers across the board offensively are down.
Exactly.
They're just down. So, but the eye gate tells me he's the best player in football in the regular season.
Oh,
just
the eye test alone. I absolutely agree. I'm not saying in any way that it's not valid. He absolutely deserves the MVP. He did a tremendous job. He was the best player on the field. The two best teams matched up, and he was the best player on the field.
Yes.
Period. So he absolutely deserves this. I'm glad he's winning it. He's an incredible player. In no way am I taking that away. I'm just saying that I do think that the defenses did not get as much credit. You're saying all the offensive numbers are down. There's a reason for that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. No, but the defensive players, I mean, if there was...
They're not going to give the MVP
unless somebody had 30 sacks or something weird like that happened. Then, yeah.
And it was more of a hole. Like the Kansas City defense is a big reason why Kansas City is in the Super Bowl. Obviously, the Baltimore defense was an extremely elite. San Francisco's defense. We can go down the line, but... Lamar absolutely deserves the MVP. They got that right.
They got it right.
Okay. Well, moving on, the fans voted Christian McCaffrey as the offensive player of the year. Did they get that one right?
Yeah, I think they got it right. I mean, you could... Christian McCaffrey. Who else would be in a running? Puka could be in a running.
Puka was great. Tyreek Hill.
Tyreek. Yeah,
but I think they got it right. And you know, they're playing in the Super Bowl.
They're playing in the Super Bowl. For it, so. And he's a big reason. Yeah. And Tyreek then got sent home against Kansas City early, so...
Yes, unfortunately.
The defensive player was awarded to your Steelers, mm-hmm. T.J. Watt. Facts or fiction for this one?
Yeah, I think, the defensive player of the year, as I just said, is really close. I mean, obviously, Myles Garrett is in there. There's so many great defensive players this year. But T.J. Watt was a reason that the Steelers won several games. He's the best player on that team. And they were literally winning with defense at one point this season. So I think that's... This is fact, but you can make an argument for a lot of defensive players this year.
It could be a fact and a fiction because Myles Garrett could get it.
Mm-hmm.
Roquan Smith can get it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you really wanted to give it to Bosa in San Francisco, I'm sure he could be in the running as well.
Yeah, a little bit of a slow start at the beginning of the season.
I guess they got it right. I'm trying to think who else. Oh, my man from Dallas. They got the 6 picks.
Bland. Bland was tremendous this year. Why is my brain not working? It's been a long day. Max Crosby.
Max Crosby.
Yeah, it's a matter of preference because all of those guys are completely deserving this year. Aiden Hutchinson was incredible.
Yeah.
So there's so many great defensive players that could be in it. I just, because it's so close, I don't think anyone's going to be outraged at this, at this vote.
So up next, the fans voted coach of the year to Texans first year head coach D'Amico Ryans. Is this all facts?
100% facts.
For sure.
Anybody to say anything other than that, so funny because I got a call now that we're doing this. I got to call somebody that I used to work with who tried to make a case against him a couple weeks ago. He was making a case for, I don't even remember. It wasn't D'Amico Ryans. It was somebody like Sean McVay or something weird.
I mean,
like
Sean
that.
McVay did an incredible job. I am a huge Sean McVay advocate. I don't think Sean McVay gets the respect he deserves.
No, he doesn't.
And if Kyle Shanahan doesn't end up winning the Super Bowl, I'm going to keep saying what I've been saying, which is he is the best coach in that division, and he has the hardware to prove it.
Yes.
So that's my bit on Sean
McVay. But
D'Amico deserves
this. Come on, man. A rookie quarterback, first-time head coach?
Without question.
No premier big-time receivers?
Nobody expected them to be anywhere near the playoffs.
Man, I thought they would win 3 games.
They did. Nobody talked about their roster at the beginning of the season. Nobody had any expectations of C.J. Stroud,
3 games.
Who, by the way, who was not the number one overall pick.
No.
So we just dismissed what happened with Bryce Young, which I'm actually proud of us as a media for doing that. We did not kill him. Just let this young man have a bad rookie season in peace, and we'll go back. And now next year, we'll start lighting the flames. But just focus on the positive, which is C.J. Stroud. I'm with you. D'Amico absolutely deserves this. They had 100%. An incredible season. He deserves all the flowers. They did great.
Okay. And finally, fans voted Baker Mayfield as the comeback player of the year. Did he deserve this?
Well, I thought comeback player of the year. Yeah, I think he deserves it as facts, but I thought comeback player of the year was when the person was hurt.
Yeah, I thought so too.
I don't know the criteria.
Are we blanking on Baker being hurt?
No, I mean, he got banged up in Carolina a little bit. Then he went to the Rams.
Bad year and then got better. That's the comeback standard. Better. How do we gauge a bad year now? Baker's had a couple.
No, he had a bad year in Carolina. Then he had a game or two decent in the Rams.
I mean, to me, comeback player is injury.
I thought it was injury. I thought it was.
You know,
so
who
did you guys put as your comeback player of the year then?
Well, I mean, obviously he was only injured for one game, but I think that we have completely overlooked the fact that Brock Purdy had surgery on his throwing arm.
No, I can't do that. He played the whole season.
This is a
regular season.
So he
award.
Hasn't missed a significant amount of the season last year. Come back and have a good year.
Comeback player of the year that got hurt, missed some time. I would have to think about that because I'm
yeah.
A blank
I would need some
would
options for this.
A lot of people were saying DeMar Hamlin.
Well,
he didn't play that much.
Played though.
Well, yeah, I guess you. I mean, if you could, yeah, I guess.
This is a very nuanced. This is a very
nuanced. That's a different one.
Yeah, this is. We need more clarification.
Yeah, all right. Well,
what qualifies for comeback?
So during media day, Travis Kelce was asked about his brother Jason retiring. Here's what he had to say.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
You think Jason plays in that Brazil game?
I think so. I don't know. I'm not a betting man, but I think he's got some football left.
What are the odds?
What are the odds? Yeah. I don't even know. I'm going to leave that up to him.
Travis!
So this first question is for you, Joy. Do you think Jason Kelce retires, or will we see him playing in 2024?
I think he will play. I think he was a little emotional after the loss, which is understandable. I think if he does play, it will certainly be his last year. I mean, retiring from the NFL, even as a great, is a very difficult choice to make, especially if you feel at all that you have any football left in you, as Travis said. Sometimes the game makes a decision for you, obviously. Your body is shutting down. You're dealing with injuries. You're not as fast. You don't have your moves anymore. Maybe the league is not wanting you. No one's interested in signing you, and the decision is made for you. I think if you have football left to play, you do it, because you're never going to do that again. Now, that's a really personal decision. I remember having this conversation with my brother when he was going to retire about, you know, just the emotions that you're going to go through when you make that decision. That's not a decision that you take lightly. You talk to your wife about it. You talk to your kids about it. You talk to your family about it, obviously. And if it's not made for you, that you're choosing to walk away from something that is truly your identity, which is a very heavy thing to do.
Yeah, I'm glad I didn't talk to nobody when I retired.
You just made a choice?
I just made the choice. Woke up the
next
morning.
That's probably smart.
Woke up the next morning and said, I'm done. Put in my paperwork. I was done. You know, what happens to me with guys that say they're going to retire, but they don't put in the paperwork immediately, tells me they're not retiring yet.
Right.
Because if you put in your paperwork, your retirement paperwork, as soon as it's over with, you're done. You start hanging around and dealing with the situation. You start feeling like, oh, I could play again. Now, maybe he's emotional, like you said. Me, I was like, but I'm done. I'm done. Put in my paperwork, dog. I'm done. I want to go do something different.
Yeah, and that's you're probably handling it the right way. Sometimes when you get too much feedback.
No, I don't need any feedback. I don't need my kids talking about keep playing. I don't need none of that. I don't need my homies. No, I'm good. I'm done.
I think it's a very individual decision.
Yeah.
And if you still feel like you can play or you still want to play, in my opinion, you should, because you're not going to do this again.
Yeah, of course.
There's no other opportunity in life that's going to be presented like that. So you should get everything out of it. But if you are done.
Yeah, you're done. You're done.
You're done.
Did you have like a time where you were like, oh, I'm done? Like,
oh, yeah, I was done. As soon as the season was over, I was out. Deuces. I wasn't tripping. I balled out that last year. And I went to work at ESPN, and I'm like, I did the draft, and I said, you know what? I don't want to play football anymore. I'm done.
You know, the world is so different now, too. When you have so many options,
Yeah. You
have so many opportunities. Guys are aware that they're not going to play the sport forever, so you prepare your businesses. You're involved in other things while you're playing. Obviously, he has a podcast. He has a huge name now. He's people's sexiest guy and all. You know, like, he's got a lot going on outside of football. And, you know, he's already has a name for himself. But again, all of that is not the NFL.
No, I get it. Yeah, and so, you got to think about it, Keyshawn. When I came into the league, I said all I wanted to play was 10 years anyway. So in my 10th year, I had already started processing what I was going to do. I didn't want to play. I wouldn't want to 15 years, 20 years. Because, again, my goal was never to get a gold jacket. My goal was to make sure that your grandmother had a big-ass house. That was my goal.
And did.
So that's the goal, though, right? Some people chase things. They want to chase rings. They want to chase the gold jacket. Me, I'm like, I'm chasing the bag so I could get my family up out these streets. Mm-hmm. And that's it. I'm not chasing nothing else, because I know how content I was in my career and what I did for the game and what I gave back to the game, what the game gave to me. So
that's,
it was an easy decision.
Yeah.
No regrets at all. I'm out. Peace. Yeah.
So speaking of the Kelces, Travis had to set the record straight after a reporter alluded to him inventing the fade.
Ugh.
Take a listen.
It's absolutely ridiculous. And to do it on February 1st, to throw me to the wolves like that, that was messed up, man. I don't want anything to do with that one, man. I got a good fade if you need it, though. It's a two on top, a nice high to mid fade with a taper in the back. But I didn't invent that. I just asked for it.
So, Dad, coming from a white guy, and it's Black History Month, it's kind of wild. But, like, how ridiculous is this?
No, it's not. It's look, man, some people are not well-educated or really don't understand or uninformed. They're not informed in certain situations. At least Travis Kelce realized, wait a minute, man, it's February 1st. It's Black History Month. Why are you even asking me something like that when I know I took that style from somebody inside my locker room? All right? So I don't have a problem with it at all. I mean, he didn't invent the fade. All you got to do is go back and look at my hair way back in 96, 95, 94. Right? I mean, you just go.
He's going to say, I invented the fade.
Yeah, there you go. I invented the fade. All you got to do is go check the records. I had fades way back then.
Oh, man.
I don't have a problem with
it. Listen, Kelce is aware of what's going on.
Absolutely. Okay?
He said the right thing. He knows he didn't invent that. And to the reporter who wrote that ridiculous piece, please read books. Please go outside of your home.
Yes.
Get new friends. Like, talk to people. Please. It's really...
not informed, though. It's not. It's, they just not informed,
yeah, but
man.
It's
that's all. I know, Joy, but he just doesn't know.
The reporter?
Doesn't know.
It's your job to know. You couldn't ask one person, like, hey, how about you ask the barber what is this haircut?
Joy.
Did Travis Kelce invent this haircut? Have you done this haircut before? Has someone asked for this haircut that doesn't look like Travis Kelce? These are simple journalistic questions.
I have
a broadcast journalism degree.
No, that's true.
I have an honorary doctorate in broadcast journalism. It's your job to ask questions.
But there's certain people in certain industries that have certain styles they like to wear in their hair.
Uh-huh.
And people said that they took it from Bo Derek with the what they see. No. I don't even want to go there though.
But I'm this is the thing. Know. Like, if you are going to, and this is not Travis Kelce's fault. We've pivoted now to the reporter.
Yeah.
If you're gonna write a story,
this
you're gonna
your
take
job.
The time.
Yeah, of course.
To write this story. Ask some.
Ask some fucking questions. There you go.
Questions. Like,
there you go.
Oh, it's your job to ask questions. Thank you. I mean, I'll do it, but I don't know what we're doing around here. We're still in the building. Ask some fucking questions. Like, go ask someone else.
And maybe he did. He's looking for a hot shot moment. It's the Super Bowl. So if I can get Travis Kelce to
You got your moment, honey.
But if I can get Travis Kelce to say, yeah, I invented the fade. You see, I got an earring.
I'm not talking about the reporter that asked the question.
Okay.
I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about the reporter. What was it? The New York Times, right?
Right.
I'm talking about the reporter that wrote the article.
Yeah, but isn't that the same person who asked the question? Why would somebody ask the question?
No, I don't think it was the same person. It better not have been the same person.
Who's going to write a story?
No. So they wrote the story and then everyone flipped out because the story said that everyone is asking for the Travis Kelce. And everyone was like, y'all, it ain't the Travis Kelce.
Oh,
it's
okay,
called a fade. He did not invent this. And then obviously, that's why Travis is like, they threw me to the wolves by... We're going to go in.
You ain't taking that from us.
Right. But Travis knows that. I'm not talking about the reporter that asked the question.
Okay.
I'm talking about the New York Times article. That article, the person who wrote that, it's your responsibility to ask questions.
Yeah.
And a simple question would be...
research.
Correct. Yeah. A simple question would be, what is this haircut?
What is this haircut?
So a confident Chad Ochocinco is all in on the Chiefs winning the Super Bowl. So confident that he's even willing to put his divorce papers on it. Take a listen.
What podcast is he on?
Chiefs win it. You're confident.
Yeah, very confident.
What are you willing to bet on it?
What am I willing to bet?
Yeah.
If the Chiefs lose, I won't eat McDonald's anymore.
Ever?
Ever.
What?
Yeah.
Wait, whoa. That's crazy.
It's crazy. That's
how confident I am. No. I feel like the equivalent of that bet is like $5 million.
Something like McDonald's
is probably watching this like, what the hell? Okay.
Matter of fact, this is rated PG, right? This is rated PG.
You can say what you want.
It's like Disney. Yeah.
You can say what you want.
Go for it.
Matter of fact, if the Chiefs lose, I'll divorce my wife and no more sex for the rest of the year.
Lot you're putting on this.
I mean, that's so, how confident I am.
So no McDonald's, a divorce,
divorce,
and no sex.
And she's right there.
And
yeah. I don't care.
Joy, what would you be willing to put on the line if you were feeling this confident?
I do not feel that confident about either of these things. I'm not betting neither, and none of that. None of that is on the board for me personally. I think this is a very even game. I don't really eat McDonald's. Occasionally, you know, if it's a breakfast. I like McDonald's breakfast. No?
No, I'm just asking.
Oh, I mean, no, not often, but I will.
You just don't seem like a McDonald's type.
It would not be a huge ask for me not to eat McDonald's ever again, but I do like McDonald's breakfast occasionally, so it might be an inconvenience for me at some point in life. It's the other stuff I'm talking about. I'm not married, so I don't need to get divorced, but I'm not giving up whatever else he's talking about. I'm out on that. But I don't feel that confident about either of these teams that I would be willing to put anything as serious as he just said. I think this is a very even game. I'm picking the Chiefs because I made the mistake of picking against them in every single round of the playoffs this year. Now, I had to pick the Dolphins, obviously. What do I look like not picking the Dolphins and they end up winning? But I picked against them every time. I'm done picking against Andy Reid and the Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce. I think they're playing at a very high level. And again, I think the defense is playing at a very high level, which no one is really talking about because obviously we default to offense and these quarterbacks. But I think the Kansas City defense is really good. On the flip side, Kyle Shanahan has been here multiple times now. They have a very high level defense. They've got 7 all pros. Brock Purdy played at an MVP level this season. So I think this is a very even game. I'm hoping for a shootout, but as much as I am picking the Chiefs and I think the Chiefs will win, am I going to come in here surprised Monday if Kyle Shanahan finally wins a Super Bowl and, you know, the defense plays at a really high level and the Chiefs look anything like they did during the regular season? No.
Well, you already know the answer to me. I'm picking Kansas City, Keyshawn. And
you putting any of that on the line?
No, man. I'm not listening to Chad. Chad just out there talking. Chad ain't getting divorced and he ain't
getting divorced.
First of all, he's not getting divorced and his ass is not gonna stop eating McDonald's. That I know for a fact.
Yeah.
So he just, as y'all say, he capping.
Okay. Well,
it sounds good. It's very convincing, though.
Well, he went further by saying he's taking Chiefs receiver Kadarius Toney to score the first touchdown. Take a listen.
I know you mentioned it a little bit off the top. Right. Maybe somebody that not everyone's thinking. If you had to pick, who you got first touchdown?
Can I do something?
Can
I go out on a limb?
Yes, sir.
Because I'm sure he's probably going to play. I'm sure he's going to suit up because it's a big game. Kadarius Toney.
Wow. Wow. That is hot. That is a hot take.
It's so unexpected, and I really think they're going to put the ball in his hands just to get him the confidence that he needs that he hasn't had.
Yeah.
Just to get him going. I don't know why. It's unexpected. But you asked me, and that's what I'm going with.
I love it. I mean, I don't even see the odds. If you can pull him up, is he on the board?
+7,000.
Oh, that's a get rich play there.
Listen.
$10 to get you 700.
If you're gonna do it, go all in.
Wow. I mean,
so the odds are +7,000. So is this a sharp bet? Would you take it, or is Ocho capping again
for $10?
$10, you win 700.
Yeah, I'm about to go do that right now. What you mean? I've spent $10 on far worse.
Yeah, I'll put a G on it.
A G?
Yeah.
Because he told you to?
No, but if the odds are such, it's $1,000 and you betting.
Oh, okay.
You know,
that's 70 grand.
We have a different relationship with money. $1,000 to me is like a YSL bag. I'm going to be upset.
Yeah, but guess what? If you hit,
I can get the whole store. But if I don't, I don't have the whole store or my bag.
Yeah, but
this is why I'm a fun gambler. Like, I like to do the fun. I'm going to do the $10. Because if I win 700, I'm going to go nuts. I'm going to be the most happy person. It's happy versus unhappy for me when it comes to gambling.
Yeah, but if you really feeling it and you feel good that's really it, and you know you feel like that's going to be it.
Yeah, I'm
going to
put more on the actual game.
You can do that too.
It just depends on what's your
appetite, though, for gaming. It just depends on what your appetite is.
I like to have fun. I like to do a little sprinkle.
I hear you.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm going to be in Vegas this weekend, but when it comes to sports betting, I like to do a little sprinkle. The other kind of gambling, I don't worry about because you just go with men.
You just go with me?
Yeah, I don't. I ran out of money. I have to go.
Well, speaking of betting, Dad, we heard you lost 250 grand in Vegas in 4 minutes.
Yes, that is correct. I have done that.
So I should not be taking any advice from you.
Let's hear it.
When you're gambling, when you're young and you having fun,
right,
and you gambling, you lose. I mean, that's just Keyshawn
Jr.
Or you win.
You remember what I just said about going to the casino with men?
I did.
This is why.
No, but check this out though. You
I'm not losing my money.
But I also done won. But this is when you're gambling though. You gambling, and what happens is if you put big money out on the table,
right,
and all of a sudden you get a bad run, you're gonna get your ass toe up. But then on the flip side, if you get a great run, you can walk out smile. It just depends on the appetite at that point in time.
I hear you.
You know? I mean, many people have had crazy gambling experiences. It just depends on what your appetite is.
Yeah, I hear you. I just like to have a good time. I want to leave knowing I had a good time. And if I lose, that's okay. I had a good time.
I'm just joy when I was a gambler, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
It was boring sitting there with you and all you betting is $5. I can't sit there. It stressed myself out.
The poll.
I just can't.
The poll of these experiences would disagree.
No, I understand.
I'm a very fun hang in the casino.
No,
And what I'm going to do for you that you will thank me for later is when you do start to get them little stacks up, while you not looking, I'm going to just pull a few aside.
No, that's real talk.
And hey, put them in my purse. When you said, damn, I lost all this.
No,
guess
Joy.
What, babe?
Joy.
$5,000 right here in my bag.
Joy, I swear to you.
Now, I'm going to hold on to one of these for saving you.
You got to have a wingman when you game it. If you go in there by yourself,
it's a wrap.
You're going to get fucked over.
Exactly.
I'm just telling you, you got to have a wing person.
I am an excellent wingman.
And say, hey, look to the right. You look, and they just
whoop.
And keep it moving. No, you're right about that. Whoop. No, you're 100% right.
In the bag.
When I lost the 250 in like 5 minutes, I had my wingman with me, but he went to the restroom.
He just said, hold on now. Correct.
Yeah, it was like four or five minutes. Yeah, 4 or 5 minutes, whatever. My wingman went to the restroom, and I was chasing at that point.
Mm-hmm.
So I still had my marker, and I had money on it, and I said, man, just give me that. And I just put it down, and I...
What were you playing?
Blackjack.
Mm.
And so everything was lined up perfectly, right? I had the four hands. I had the face cards, boom, boom, boom.
Split.
I had like eights and splits, and everything was cool. I was high at a 20, low at an 18. Bam. And they rolled over the deuce, a three. Boom. I said, damn. Then it was like a two. Bam. Then the number got lower. Bam. Then it was low, and it was low, it was low. And all he said was, sorry, Mr. J, it's... And collected the chips, Joy.
Oh, I hate it.
And then I said, man, let me see the last card. And he flipped it over. It was a face card. Bullshit, man. It's rigged. I got to get up out of here. And I left and went back to L.A. Had just landed in Vegas from Tampa Bay with my teammates. I got back on the jet, called the pilot, got back on the jet, went to L.A., told him, y'all stay in Vegas, meet me in L.A. When y'all ready to go back home, we'll go back home.
Yeah, I would have left, too.
Oh, I was so sick.
I mean, I would never be in this situation, but if I could imagine that I would do something like that.
Oh, I done seen some worse ones than that.
Oh, yeah. Listen,
I done watch Tiger. I done watch Charles. I done watch Michael. I done watch some bad stuff.
I have seen some horrible things as well. Some very tragic outcomes. But that is why I'm the wingman.
Well, allow me to say thank you for joining me on this podcast.
Thank you for having me.
Much appreciated. That's a wrap today. Appreciate the lovely Joy Taylor for joining the show. Don't forget to subscribe and follow All Facts Podcast on social media. Until then, you know what time it is. I'm out. Keyshawn, peace.